Thank you. Good evening. We're glad to welcome you here at Stanley Heights Baptist Church and to thank you for joining us to celebrate the life of Nancy Good. And I'm so delighted that you have honored Nancy and honored Jim and their family with your presence here today. So all the scripture that we'll read, I'll begin with the psalm, we'll end with another scripture. All the songs that will be sung will are all requests that are given by their family to be ministered to in this occasion. I'm going to turn in my Bible to the 23rd Psalm on May the 8th, Nancy's last day to read the Bible. She read Psalm 22 to Psalm 26. And I'm going to read a wonderful psalm that is at the heart of that portion of Scripture. Listen to the words of the Scriptures, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his blessing and help as we celebrate the life of Nancy and share this time together. So God, the Holy Spirit, you do for us what is impossible to be done in any other way. You bring comfort. You bring hope. You speak to us in a very personal way. And I ask that you would even do that today for this family, for these friends. We ask that Jesus would be honored in all of it. And we ask that you would, not just in this time, but particularly now in this time, but in the days following, you would help. And so we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. My soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Amen.
One of the things we'll enjoy tonight is that Jim's sister and brother-in-law, Dr. and Mrs. Reese, are going to come and share some remembrances of Nancy.
I don't know if I can do this or not. Am I a pastor? Yes, I have been for a million years. But let me say this. It's an honor to be here and to share a few thoughts and memories with Nancy. Somebody, I don't know who it was, asked me to be here. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of whom?
You.
And that is what we are doing. Today, we're here to remember whom? Nancy. And let me say this. We met Nancy 31 years ago when my wife, who was adopted 2 days old, she met some of her siblings for the very first time 31 years ago. First, I was asked to be up here, and then I said to my wife, why don't you say something? So she may say more than I do. Or if I end up with tears in my eyes, she might finish for me. I love this family, and you're going to hear why.
Well, Jim always thought he was the oldest. That is, until he met me in 1990. And I kind of took over as the oldest, right? Anyway, we finally met Nancy. I met her later. She made us feel welcome right from the start. You see, Nancy was a Christian. She was born again. She loved the Lord. And she was excited when we joined the family. And she just went out of her way to make sure that we were welcomed in her home. And so we're so thankful that she did that for us.
Now, let me tell you a few things about her husband. In case you didn't know, his name is
Jim.
Jim always thought he was the oldest. Nope, that was her. But Jim came and visited us several times that first year, and he went to church with us. In fact, on one of his visits, he asked me a question. He found out that I was a pastor. He had just found out he had another sister. And he came to us. He went to church with us. And one night he asked us a question. And he said, do you like going to church? That was him. And I said, well, yes, I love going to church. I'm a pastor. I've been doing that for years. You think that's something. So he just wanted to know, do you enjoy going to church? Because He didn't go to church much, if he did. Well, then he asked me another question. Are you ready for this? You want to believe this. Because he was in our house and he asked me the second question. He said, do you have snakes in your church? And you think I'm kidding. I thought he was kidding.
He wasn't.
And he was not kidding. He said, do you have snakes in your church? I said, what are you talking about? And he asked me again. I said, no, we don't have any of those in our church. He wasn't too sure about having a pastor for a brother-in-law. However, he used to come to our house then, to our church, about once every month for 8 months. And every time he came, he would have something written out. And he had all kinds of questions for us. He wasn't a believer. He didn't know if he trusted me, but he had a sister. And now he was talking about the church that he came and visited with us. And every time when we go to our dinner, say, table, he would have all the written questions that he had. In the 8th month that he came to us.
On Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday, after we ate. Jim, I tell you what, after we had been done eating, we had a privilege of praying with him after that Sunday church in our house on the dining room table. Jim accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And his life changed. And it's remained that way. And that's why I said I didn't know if I could finish this, because I love this man and his wife.
And that was a tremendous blessing for Nancy as well, because now she and Jim could go to church together, worship the Lord together. And today, and I'm going to try and read this, Jim, he gave me a card that to use. I'm going to give it back. But that Nancy gave to him shortly after he accepted the Lord. And this is what it said on the front. Our love was meant to be. It amazes me that out of the whole world, I would find the one person who would make my life complete. And that we were both at the right place to meet and at the right time in our lives to fall in love. It makes me so thankful for all that happened to bring us together. And once again, I realize that our love was truly meant to be. But then inside the note she wrote to Jim. And this was probably 30 years ago. Babe, I sure am proud of the changes in your life. You have no idea how many prayers I have prayed. It's not easy. I'm human too, and I'm not perfect. It's hard for me too. Honey, I don't see a 360-degree turn in your life. I just see a 720-degree turn.
Amen.
Just know how proud I am of you and how much I love you. Thanks for being my husband. Always, Nan. P.S. I'm glad you've accepted the Lord. It makes me sleep better at night knowing if anything happened, where you're going, heaven. I thank God every day. God bless and be careful. Don't forget, I love you. What a beautiful card. What a special remembrance, Jim, that you will always have this card from your dear wife. And if any, and many of you know Jim, and that's why you're here, you know that wherever he goes, he shares his testimony of how Christ changed his life. And just like the rest of us who have accepted Christ, we still sin. We're not perfect. But I tell you what, my brother loves the Lord. And he is a different man today than the man I met 34 years ago. And I praise God for that.
Nancy was faithful in reading God's word on a daily basis. Jim told Jeannie that even last Monday, he found her devotion books and opened where she had read that morning. Nancy read Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Another page that she had, this passage, says, I just want this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Keep trusting the Lord, Jim, the rest of your life.
And you all know Nancy was a very loving, caring person, and she cared about her family. You three were so important to her. And Becky, she told me how much she loved you. And she didn't just love her family. She loved extended family, nieces, nephews, and she loved people around her. And you know that, those of you in this church. I just think of the time she was willing to drop whatever she was doing. And she'd drive miles to help other people, whether it was family or friends. And my daughter-in-law, Sarah, if I can share it with Sarah, told me that when she and our son Mike were on staff here at Stanley Heights, you've been gone now 11 years, right? That when they came here, that Nancy took her under her wing because they were far from family. Sarah wasn't near her mother. And she and Nancy did so many things. Card making. Some of you probably have made cards with Nancy. Thrift shopping. And some of you may have done that too. They went out to lunch. And then this was something I didn't know before. I just learned it this week. They even took a hunter safety class together and they practiced shooting together. I didn't know that about my sister-in-law or my daughter-in-law. But I know that Sarah is so thankful for Nancy's willingness to invest in her life and kind of be like a second mother to her when they were here. But it just wasn't just family members that Nancy would bless with her hospitality and her love. I saw pictures this week and read comments on Facebook from people in this church and for people in her neighborhood and a family that moved here 3 years ago, and I don't know if they're here or not, but pictures where they had their first Christmas in their home and where their children call her Nana and Grandma Nancy. And that only comes from a willing heart that's willing to serve others and to put others more important than yourself. So she truly cared for others. And it made me think of the verse in Galatians 6:2, where it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And that was Nancy. If you had a burden, she was there for you. She met the need when she could. She lived what it teaches us in Matthew 22. She loved the Lord with all her heart and her neighbor as herself.
In Psalm 33, verse 4.
23.
Excuse me.
Pastor already referred to this, I know.
4. It says, and you've already heard this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," where is she right now? "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Nancy didn't fear death. She knew the Lord was with her. And today, Nancy, where is she? Can you imagine where she is? Can you just imagine where she is today? "I don't know what it's going to be like when I get to see Jesus. I think I'm going to drop on my knees. I'm going to be afraid to look at Him, but I want to see Him." Don't you? Can you just imagine that? Nancy is with Jesus. Verse 6 of Psalm 23 says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a wonderful promise for those of us who know the Lord as our Savior. It says in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you."
And Jim, Angie, and Brian, we love you, and our hearts ache for you today. And although we are sad, and we will miss Nancy, we grieve with hope. We're not those who grieve without hope. We have the blessed assurance because we rejoice knowing that Nancy is in the place that God prepared for her, and she's in the presence of her Savior. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will see her again one day. And what a day that will be, in fact.
And yes, I have something else written here, but I just want to say, can you just imagine having someone come into your house that knows nothing about Jesus Christ? and he hasn't lived a godly life. And in our kitchen, you asked us, can I ask Jesus to be my Savior? And yes, I'll cry about that. Because you're a brother. And I love you. And your family. And your wife. She's just opened the way for you someday, man. And together we're going to see her again. And we're going to see Jesus Christ. I'm not a singer. But I can't go without singing this. And I'm not like that guy that was just singing here. If you know this, you can hum it.
Or sing it.
You can sing it with me. It's only this short.
What a
day. It's just a chorus.
What a day that will be.
What a day that will be. You know that song? What a day that will be. With my Jesus I shall see.
I shall look upon His face. The one who saved me by His grace.
When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
And what a glorious day that was for Nancy at 2 a.m. Friday morning. When she saw Jesus face to face. And I know because I've talked with Nancy. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was Nancy's prayer that all of her loved ones and friends would be with her in heaven one day.
And we're going to close. But I just want to say this. Wouldn't it be something because of what she has shown so many of us. How she's lived for God. Wouldn't it be something that if Pastor, you're the pastor, he's going to preach. He's going to be so mad that I've taken his time.
No, he's
but
not.
Pastor, just look at these people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if one day that everyone here has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you there are people here who haven't done that. There might be people here that have poo-pawed that. But I'll tell you what, I can't wait. Until I'll be with Jesus and with all of you that are here because you know Christ is your Savior. Romans 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is Nancy's prayer. Thank you.
As we've heard here tonight, Nancy's hope truly was in Christ. In Christ, in Him alone. We get to sing about that. Would you stand with me? Would you join me in standing tonight? I'd like to sing together the song. The words will be projected for you. In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Now this third stanza, we're going to sing it together. It talks about what we've just celebrated at Easter. There in the ground His body lay. So we'll do that a little quieter, a little more reserved. And then when we come to then bursting forth, we're going to rejoice because that is the hope we have in Christ. That because He was risen again, that we also have the hope of this resurrection. Sing with me, there in the ground.
There in the ground is my body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you. Please be seated.
I'm reading these remembrances on behalf of Angie and their family, and you can understand that she didn't know if she could do this. And so I'm going to read her words that she wants to express about her mom. Thank you for being here today to celebrate the life of Nancy Good. Thank you for walking beside us this past week and for what I hope and pray in the days to come. It means the world to us that you are here today. Who was Nancy Good? She is the daughter of Bill and Ruth, the wife to Jim, the mama to Brian and Angie, sister of Becky, the stepdaughter to Dee, the stepsister to Lonnie, Gordy, Dadeen, Joe, and Corky, sister-in-law to Bonnie, Cheryl, Linda, Penny, Roger, and John, auntie to many nieces and nephews, a faithful friend, a lover of shenanigans and puns, the Big Nance to every kid that she chaperoned on marching band trips and missions trips. And most importantly, she is a daughter of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior. I've spent the last 7 days thinking about my mom and thanking the Lord for allowing me the privilege to have her as my mama. I'm filled with all the ways she poured into my life, her wisdom and words, her laughter and love of life. My mom loved gardening and plants and herbs. My earliest memories include her gardening at Rome Road, growing green beans, lettuce, bell peppers, rogue zucchini, and cucumbers. She always knew when I had been out in the garden snacking on raw green beans and bell peppers. I recall many a time when I was able to sweet-talk my brother into joining me on a veggie heist. My mom loved to cook. As a child, I remember that she had a non-negotiable rule. We eat at the supper table every night. She insisted that we turn off the Channel 7 news and we sit down as a family. Those meal times were the most precious. I loved meal times even when they included lima beans. Who likes lima beans? We still hold the dinner rule when we would visit down here or when she was up north. On the road trip down here last week, Brian and I were talking about this and that, and I said to him, we will get through this. Mom taught us, me thinking, to love well. Brian filled in the sentence with, to cook. Yes, yes, she did, Brian. One of her ministries was to cook for others. My dad said it best, if you stubbed your toe, she was making you a meal. Goodness, I loved her cooking and would happily stub all my toes for her broccoli and steak stir fry. God knew she loved cooking and he placed her in several positions, serving at Mission Dough in Hillsdale, Michigan, and then down here at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission and Siskin Learning Center. This week, my family has been on the receiving end of meals from some of you in this room, and we want you to know that this has forever touched our hearts and given us a glimpse of the way Mama's ministry has touched many lives. The meals have been an absolute blessing from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. My mom loved her Michigan roots. She loved being from the mitten. She was a small town Great Lakes gal. She loved coming back for visits. We all loved having her there. She had just returned from a sweet visit with my brother in the mitten before she was hospitalized. She had texted me and said this visit with Brian was different. She wrote and spoke to me that this visit isn't rammy jammy. And she was tickled pink that she got to see several dear friends and family when she was up there. Mom loved to craft. She could do all the things. When Brian and I were younger, she would sew for us. One Christmas, she made me yellow and teal Holly Hobby pajamas. Whenever I see anything with Holly Hobby at a garage sale or a thrift, I think back to those pajamas. I'm thankful that she taught me how to sew. She recently was sharing her sewing knowledge with Sweet Shiloh. My mom loved every moment of those sewing lessons. She would talk excitedly about their adventures with the seam ripper. My mom also loved card making. We were forever bouncing card ideas off one another, and she would find a fun quote or stamp and call me super excited. My mom loved getting together with my friend Nancy and I to make cards when she was in Rockford. Nancy and I would joke when a card front was glued on backwards, "This one is going to be mailed to Ringgold." I did mail her good card or pretty cards too, not just the duds. The thing that sticks out most about my dear mama is that she loved well. She loved Dad, Brian, and me so well. She loved us to the end so very well. Even in all that was happening in her brain last Monday, she still told Dad to turn off the stove and oven. Heaven knows he did not need to burn the house down. But even in telling him to turn off those appliances, she is loving him well. She knew what he needed even before he knew. That was Mama. She is the beautiful, wise woman that Solomon wrote about in Proverbs 31, verse 28. Brian and I rise up and call her blessed, and Dad also praises her. My mom loved the song Friends by Michael W. Smith. In fact, during a pretty bad storm about 6 weeks ago, my mom texted me with the words of Queen Esther, "If I perish, I perish." Heaven knows Mama and I were both dramatic when it came to thunderstorms. She asked that this song be at her service. Here are the words: "Packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. I can't believe the hopes he's granted means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you're gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps you strong. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends." When we were younger, we started using the phrase, "I love you," "catch you on the flip-flop." It started each time my dad would head out on the road. The flip-flop we were referring to is heaven. On Thursday evening, when we tucked her into bed, we held her hands, we gently touched her beautiful face. We spoke words of love. We reminded her of our affection and told her it's going to be okay, Mama. And most importantly, we told her, "I love you and I'll catch you on the flip-flop." So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Angie.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye
for time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday
in the individual's life when a person comes to Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. It's wonderful. There's so many things that God does in your life at that moment. And then, oh, believe me, far beyond that. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about what happened to Nancy when she came to Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And what that's going to mean for her and what it means for her right now. And I want to talk to you about what it means for you as well. So I'm going to take my Bible and go to a portion of Scripture. In fact, a portion of this was the Scripture that we read together on Thursday, whenever the family carried out Nancy's wishes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where I'll turn. And I want to describe to you what happens when a person who is saved by Jesus Christ, what is new? This portion of Scripture reminds us that when a person is saved and comes to Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, that person at that very moment becomes a new creature. In fact, listen to what the Bible says. This is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That old life just gets... over time passes away, but there's so much more. There's a new life, a life of freedom and a life of joy, a life of power, a life of a new meaning for living, a new hope. Wow. And the very moment that a person puts his or her trust in Christ, they become a new creature. But there's something else the Bible tells us is new. There's a new reconciliation. Let me read to you what the Bible says, starting in this same chapter, the next verse after what we just read. Verse 18, I'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 21. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but in reading those four verses, there are five times a form of the word reconcile is described. Now, think of how wonderful the word reconcile is. Imagine two individuals who have been estranged for many years. And there's hurt, bitterness, anger, maybe misunderstanding, certainly. And for many years, they had ill will between them. And then imagine that one of those individuals says, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. And so that individual decides, I'm going to go to that person with whom I'm estranged, and I'm going to try to reconcile. I don't know if that person will respond. We've been so far apart from each other for so long. There's such ill will between us. I don't know if it'll even work out, but I'm going to try the best I can to go to that individual and be reconciled. And imagine how wonderful it would be if after all those years and all the hurt feelings and all the pain of it, that the individual takes a step of faith and goes to the other. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the others listens? They're both humble. They forgive. They gain understanding. And two people who have been far apart for so long now are reconciled. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe you had an experience like that in your own life. Did you know that we by nature and choice are estranged from our God, the God that created us? Did you know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as the Bible tells us that our sins have separated between thee and thy God, is the way God describes it? Did you know that God came to you to seek reconciliation? We're told these words in this passage of Scripture, chapter 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, imputing isn't a common word that we would use. Imputing really is it's a banking term. It's a common word that I hope you practice, but you think of it this way. Every time you cash a check, or your check is deposited into your account, hopefully your bank is going to take your check and that your bank is going to impute it to your account. Put it on your account. So how many of you are glad that your bank imputes your check to your account, right? You're glad for imputation. And God reminds us of this because of our sin. Did you know that every sin that you commit, every sin that I commit, is placed upon our judgment account? Each sin is now before a holy God, deserving His judgment. And what God did was God reached out to you and to me so that God came. He came, God the Son, in the form of Jesus Christ. He became a man, so He is equally God and equally man. He lived a sinless life, and because He had no sins on His account, the sinless Son of God went to a cross and He shed His blood, and there His blood flowed and paid the price for your sins and for my sins. He rose in power and victory. And by Jesus Christ, the righteousness that He had is imputed to my account when I put my trust in Christ. And my sin, all those sins that I've been counting up and been put in my judgment account for a holy God to judge righteously, the moment that Nancy Good, Brent Boffman, Jim Good, I put your name there too, that very moment, all of our sins were placed on His account. His righteousness on ours. A new reconciliation. That's what happens. Can I tell you something else this portion of Scripture tells us happens when a person comes to Jesus Christ as a Savior? As a Savior, this person experiences a new confidence. And this is the Scripture that we read right before. In this case, Jim and Angie went back to the ICU, and the way they do it at Erlanger Hospital is the four of us went up and they only let two people back at a time. And Jim and Nancy already made this decision long ago. If this ever happened where one of them was in a situation like this, they'd already knew what they wanted to do. Very clear. It was that Thursday morning, was that time. And so I read before we prayed and Angie and Jim went back to the ICU. I read these scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll read verse 7 or verse 6 through verse 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, it's sad. We could never take away the sorrow of it and the loss. No one can imagine it. And anyone who knows loss, you empathize because you know what it is to have such loss. But was there ever a question? Was there ever a question what would happen? Never a question. Confident. I'm in Christ. Oh, there's apprehension, certainly. But confident. Do you have such a confidence? When you go through the valley of the shadow of death that their family's going through, there's not enough money in the world that could pay for your confidence in Christ. Then there's something else that's new. Chapter 5, verse 1. There's a new home, and we are told these words. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, think of a tabernacle as a tent, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Oh, listen, I would trade an earthly tent for an eternal heavenly home any day. And when Nancy passed from this world to the next, Jesus had already promised her a heavenly home. It was waiting for her. But now she got to make good on the promise, and she's enjoying the heavenly home. Now, friend, can you think of anything better than looking forward to a heavenly home? awaiting you on the other side. Now that, I'll tell you what, if you want to know a great real estate deal, I don't know anything about all that stuff, but I know this, that's a great deal. A new creature, a new reconciliation, a new confidence, a new home. And you know, if you are in Christ, can I tell you, it's yours. Already it's yours. And if you are not in Christ, it's all available to you. Now, there's a really important question, though, you have to ask. And Pastor Miss Reese did a beautiful job. And boy, thank you for that. So wonderful, insightful, wonderful. But all you have to do is ask. And the scripture that was quoted was, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I believe that. When God made that promise that you as a whosoever, you see your need, that you're separated from God, that He's reached out to you to bring reconciliation to you, the promise of a heavenly home to make you a new creature, confident. I believe that what God says is true, that if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. It's a gift to be received. The wages of sin is death, the scriptures say. The gift of God is eternal life. You say, "Lord Jesus, I know my sin. I know my need. I know that I'm not enough. But I see it. Christ is enough. I understand it." And right now, in your heart of hearts, in this very quiet place, this is an opportunity for you to call out from your heart to the Lord God, who hears your every prayer and knows your every thought. And by faith, not what you do, but by faith, receive Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment. I'm going to ask that in the quietness of this moment, we will in just a moment pray and close out our time together. But I want you to really think about where you stand before God. And if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, there's never a bad time, but is there a better time than now? There are plenty of people around that you could ask if you have other questions, and we're happy to do that. And so we're delighted to tell you, really the way the Apostle Paul described it, be reconciled to God. You can be reconciled to God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, if you will, and we will pray in a moment. Let me give you some instructions of how we'll go from here and what will happen as we go from this place. I know there are some individuals that would love to be able to see Jim and the kids and the family, and because of the hour, you had to come in a little late just because of the way the schedule went tonight. So in a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read a scripture that the family asked us to read. It's Nancy's prayer for you. And then what we'll do is we'll give you a chance to leave from where you are, and the family will be here. You can come and meet them. That's wonderful. And you'll be able to make sure you see them. We want to give you that opportunity to see them. And there are some things in our fellowship hall, some refreshments for you to enjoy as well. You can get there by going to your right. You can go that way. You can also go to your left. Either door will get you there. All right. And then I want to remind you as well that there is a visitation tomorrow from 11 to 12 here, and then the graveside at the National Cemetery is at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So let me pray, and then I'm going to read this prayer of benediction, and you can greet the family. So, Lord God, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you praise. We're grateful for the privilege of having our lives touched by Nancy Good. We're grateful for that your will is good and perfect, and the way you have chosen is wise beyond our comprehension. And I'm glad that we don't have to understand, but yet our faith is in you that you do. As we pray for the Good family, each one. we pray that you would do for them a wonderful work, that the Holy Spirit would bring such comfort for these friends that have gathered, their family that have come to be part of this. We are grateful. And that the mutual encouragement and love of these friends and family would wonderfully bless Jim and Nancy and the kids and one another. And so we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I read from the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers, where the scriptures tell us this: the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And all God's people said, amen. Blessings.